Monday morning to you. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
We are pleased this morning to have Marty Marlin in our studio with us. She is one of our counselors at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute.
Good morning.
This morning, we're continuing our discussion of how do you know you need counseling? First program was, how do I know I need counseling? The second program last week was, how do I know that my child needs counseling? This morning we have, how do I know if we need marriage counseling? So I encourage you this morning to call in and let us hear from you. Our number here at the station is 862-9977. Or outside of Springfield, it's 1-800-375-0056. Or on the cell phone, star 56. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good. Nice to be here.
Good, actually.
Yeah, it's a great day in the Ozarks.
It really is.
No, there was a guy that was driving around and he sees a sign in front of a house that says talking dog for sale. And he rings the bell and the owner tells him the dog is in the backyard. So the guy goes into the backyard and he sees a Labrador retriever sitting there. And the guy walks up to the dog and says, you talk? Yep. The dog says, so what's your story? Well, the lab looks up and says, well, I discovered that I could talk when I was pretty young. And I wanted to help the government. So I told the CIA about my gift and in no time at all, they were jetting me around from country to country, setting me in rooms with spies and world leaders, because no one figured that a dog would be eavesdropping on. I was one of the most valuable spies for 8 years running. But, you know, the jetting around just really tired me out. So I figured I wasn't getting younger, so I wanted to settle down. And so I signed up for a job at the airport to do some undercover security work. You know, mostly wandering near suspicious characters and listening in, and I uncovered some incredible deals. And was rewarded with a batch of medals. But then I got married and had a mess of puppies, and now I'm just retired. And the guy's amazed. He goes back in, he asks the owner what he wants for the dog, and the owner says, I want $10. The guy says, $10? This dog is amazing. Why on earth are you selling him for $10? And the owner says, because that dog's a liar. He didn't do any of those things.
That's a great story.
You know, so many times, what we have in our possession is so priceless and it's so precious and it's so wonderful. We don't appreciate what we have.
So true.
Yeah, many times we just can't see it. It takes somebody else to bring it out and show it to us. And that's this morning what we're talking about is the preciousness of marriage. And it's one of the most precious things we can have if we choose to marry in our lifetime. If we choose to marry, then that's a marvelous choice. But there's some great responsibilities that come with that. There's some things that many of us are just not prepared when we go into marriage, either because we've not seen it modeled in our home life growing up, or we didn't receive the training ourselves as far as learning how to relate interpersonally, how to communicate effectively, how to think of someone else other than ourselves. And so there's some things that go on in our marriages that people are asking themselves, you know, I got married and I didn't get married to get divorced, but this marriage thing isn't all it heard it cracked up to be. So how do we know, if we're married this morning, how do we know that we need counseling? We need marriage counseling. Marty, how do you know that?
Well, there can be really lots of different indicators. I think communication is a really big issue that affects almost everything, and certainly in the marriage. If the communication isn't working well, there's going to be problems. Like I said, that can carry over into whatever else is happening in our life.
Oh, a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
It acts as an amplifier. Of course, getting back to our three greatest needs, to be understood for who we are, to be accepted, and to be valued more than the whole world. And we've talked about those needs several times. To be understood takes intimacy. It takes communication. Story here, for years, I've never talked to anything having to do with a relationship, says 36-year-old Devin. And I mean never talked about it. Lily would bring up the issue sometimes, but maybe she'd wish something was different or that I would behave in a different way. But I pretty much refused to participate. That talks about the breakdown in communication there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was, well, manly to talk about that kind of stuff. Devin's wife put up with her monosyllabic husband for years, but eventually she had enough and confronted him. She told me that she felt like she was living with a stranger, not a husband, and that if she kept going on the way we were, she didn't see how the marriage would make it. I was absolutely stunned. I had no idea she was taking my silence so personally.
Mm-hmm. That is so true of so many men.
Absolutely.
So many husbands sitting there, either yes, no, or grunt.
Right, and that's because of the differences in how males and females mm-hmm. communicate. Females are going to, more often than not, it's going to be, they want that eye contact, that face-to-face, and they want to talk, and they want to really share, and go over things, and go over them again and again, and give you the most minute detail of whatever they're wanting to talk about. Mm-hmm. But that's, for most men, not their preferred style of communication.
In fact, most men will say, at that point, they'll say, you're just beating a dead horse.
Uh-huh.
We've
right.
covered that ground. I don't want to go over that ground anymore.
Right.
And the wife is saying, oh, but we haven't covered it yet.
Yeah, with men, they share a lot more just sharing activities, whether or not anything is said. One place I know I've read is referred to as shoulder-to-shoulder communication. We don't have to have that eye contact, that looking
yes.
into each other's eyes and all, but doing things together, even if, you know, very little is said, that's what's meaningful in how they share and like to communicate. This starts, obviously, from the time we're very small. There's been a lot of studies that help show the differences mm-hmm. in male and female communication. And I got to thinking about this, even in my 6-year-old grandson, I can see that shoulder-to-shoulder communication is a preference for him. Like a lot of kids, he loves to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when he's with me, he'll say, Grandma, come watch me play a video game. Well, now, Grandma doesn't care anything at all about video games, and he knows I can't play video games with him.
Yeah.
But he's content if I'll just sit there on the couch next to him mm-hmm. while he's playing his video game.
Looks like we have Elizabeth in Springfield. Elizabeth, are you there?
Hello. I have a comment and a question, maybe. I'm wondering, how do you think that us in our 60, 70, 80, and 90 years old, how we survived, you know, when our grandparents died or our friend in school died, and, you know, we didn't have all the counseling, but I think most of us have turned out to be pretty decent people throughout the world. What do you think?
Well, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think our men and women from 60 and above have had to do some very tough things in their lifetime. And one of the things that many of those people have, that age group, is they had family. They had friends they could talk with. They had people that were in community together.
Well, why don't the families do that more now? I mean, what's wrong with people?
Everybody,
I mean, we don't seem to care. They're going so fast doing this, that, and everything else. And then they holler, well, get a counselor.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But funny thing is, we're seeing a lot of people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s now that are getting to points in their life that they never saw their parents and grandparents reach. And you'd be surprised the number of people we have in our 60s, 70s, and 80s that come and talk to us going, my parents died when they were in their 60s. My grandparents died when they were in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching this point in their life and trying to see how things are going to happen from this point on, because we learn by experience. And when we haven't seen our parents and our grandparents reach these milestones, if we haven't seen someone else reach this, there are things that happen, questions that have to be answered. And we're actually talking with people to help understand the different changes that are going on in their life in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We had a couple that was in their 70s come in. The wife was not getting enough sex.
Oh, okay. When my grandmother died, she was 100 or so.
Well, Elizabeth, it sounds like you had a really strong family. It sounded like you had a family that did stay around and were able to pass on things. A lot of people just don't have. And in today's society, we're in a fast-paced society. People are moving. Stresses are on top of the relationships. And the knowledge and commitment of what marriage and family is not necessarily what it has been in the past. That's part of why we're talking on the air and why we're talking with people and why we do that on a daily basis.
I truly believe, though, that our world is in kind of a moral downgrade, and I hate to see it and hear it, but I think it's happening.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen to you.
Elizabeth, we want to keep continuing to help people out, to be able to teach people that there is a right and wrong, there is a way to take care of things, there is a way to be a family. What it means to be truly married, that's what we're out here to do. Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call.
Bye-bye.
Looks like we have Don on the line. Don, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
I got a story to tell about family and marriage. I probably should have been married. I want to share my heart and help other listeners because I'm reaching out of love. And my mom and I, we used to eat supper around 6:30. We had a close relationship, and relationships like that you said a while ago is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to the hospital last night because my caseworker and my former caseworker told me to stop drinking so much coffee and sugar and smoking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, you know what you need to do? It's my lifestyle choice. My mom passed away in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I have poor eating habits. I would go to bed, wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning, start drinking lots of coffee, smoke cigarettes, hit the books for my GED. I developed poor lifestyles. Yeah, I need to eat more during the day and not late at night. And I might see one of your counselors here pretty soon to give me some encouragement. And that's why I seek your program, because I've tried mental health, I've tried counselors, but they don't come from the Christian point of view. And I've heard your promos, and I thank God for your program now, and thank God for KWT Radio.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. You know, with your comments and also with Elizabeth's comments, our world is rapidly getting into a place, whether we're living in an individual life or a family life or we're married, is that we're all in this together alone. That's the way it feels.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't learned how to connect with one another and learn how to connect in good, solid ways with commitment. And we need to learn how to do that. That's one of the reasons for this program and one of the reasons why we're talking about counseling and marriage counseling this morning is because people are bailing out of their marriages, and many times when that should not happen.
Exactly.
That just should not happen because it is not at that point, but they don't know of anything else to do.
And Don, if you want to talk to us in person, give us a call at the office. Office number is 882-6767. That's 882-6767. Give us a call there and set up a time to be able to come in and talk. That's what we're here for. We're here, we want to help, and we're ready. We have Norma in Springfield. Good morning, Norma.
Ken,
yes,
are you the one that was in real estate?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh, you are. Okay. I know you. Because you and your office sent my son some supplies when he was over in Iraq.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Yes. And what I want to say is I love your program. I enjoy it. And because of part of your program, my son is now in college studying psychology and wanting to administer to the guys and gals that are in service.
Well, that's fantastic.
That is excellent.
Part of, you know, what you helped him with.
Well, Norma, I'm glad
he's back from Iraq safely.
Yes.
What is that?
I'm glad he's back from Iraq safely.
Yes. He has a lot of mental problems, but he's dealing with them, and he's going back to school.
That's great.
So he's taking action, and that's so important.
Yes.
To recognize what you can do to help yourself, and then in turn, hopefully help other people.
Right. And thank you, Ken, because I've talked with you several times. You'd probably recognize me if you saw me.
Thank you very much, Norma.
You know, but thank you for your program. It's wonderful.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. You know, we live with just daily expectations in our marriage. Just daily expectations. Some of these, and let me just ask some, just state some of these and see if these are some of yours. How strongly you feel about these. And what might make it interesting is if you'll answer these according to how you think your spouse would answer it as well. The husband is the head of the home. That's one expectation in many couples. Or the wife should not be employed outside the home. The husband should help regularly with the dishes or with some other housekeeping. The wife has the greater responsibility for the children. Money that the wife earns is her money. That brings up a good conversation every once in a while. The husband should have one night a week out with his friends. How do you feel about that? Or the wife should always be the one to cook. Or this is really one that a lot of men will come back at their wife with, is the husband's only responsibility is to his job. His responsibility is to make the money, and the wife's responsibility is to the home and to the kids. You know, those are expectations that get a lot of people tied up in knots.
Mm-hmm.
Many times because they're in opposition to one another, what those expectations are, but many times those are unspoken expectations that couples get into, and they begin quarreling about things, and they don't really know what they're quarreling about. I know a couple that several years ago, he would sit in the den, and he'd be watching his ball game. He would be drinking a glass of tea that she had prepared for him, and he would get down to the bottom of the glass, and he would hold up the glass and rattle the ice cubes in the glass, and that was a signal for her to come wherever she was in the house to fill up his tea glass again.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be sitting next to the kitchen where the pitcher was of tea. And so we talk a lot about expectations, but a lot of unspoken expectations about the roles, responsibilities of husbands and wives that just tie couples up in knots. Right. Now, she didn't like having to go from one end of the house to where he was to fill his glass, come back. And finally, she told him so. Okay? Well, it wasn't the filling of the glass. It was the expectations of what the roles and responsibilities were of husbands and wives. Many times our marriages get tied up into multiple knots because we have a lot of oppositional expectations, but most of the time, more than that, it's just unspoken expectations in our lives about how we were raised up, believing what a role of a man and a woman really are. Mm-hmm. You know, the three most frequent reasons people go to counseling, let me mention this real quick right here at the bottom before we go to the break. The first one is crisis resolution. That's regarding the loss of a relationship, the death in the family. It could be stress overload or loneliness, or it could be coping with changes or family crisis. Some type of crisis and trying to resolve that crisis. The second one is seeking relief from chronic problems. It could be depression or parent-child or child-parent problems or unhappy relationships, anger, or those self-defeating behaviors. Or the third one, it could be for personal growth. And we mention this quite often, that one of the reasons for counseling is to improve what's already good. And that's one of the reasons why people come to counseling, is for personal growth, increasing self-confidence, improving self-esteem, enriching personal relationships like marriage and friendships, or enhancing self-understanding, a lot of different things. But couples come to counseling, or people come to counseling for a variety of reasons. Many times it's because of those knots in the relationship. Many times it's because of those unspoken expectations.
Mm-hmm. People do obviously change. We all change. And the other person, hopefully, is then recognizing how those needs in the spouse changes mm-hmm. so that they can address those. So all those things you just mentioned, whether it's crisis resolution or seeking relief from chronic problems, personal growth, those are all things that can mean that we're changing, and so then how the other person responds to us may need to change.
And the act of counseling has gotten a very bad rap over time. What Marty does and what WK does is they bring knowledge to people. They're able to see where they're at in their life and say, here's what we've got, here's what happens in a family system. These are things that are not, they're not taught in a lot of cases. People don't learn them through their families because their family situation wasn't good. It is not something that just happens by genetics. This is not something that you should just know because you're growing up. These are things that we learn. We're either going to learn it the right way mm-hmm. or we're going to learn it incorrectly. The whole act of counseling is to get knowledge, to receive knowledge. We've talked about how many people have gone back to school later in life and changed their entire
That's
occupation.
Right. Yes.
And no one holds that against them for going and seeking the knowledge. If I go and get a toothache, I've got a cavity going down, no one looks down on me for going into the dentist. Now, I may not like to go into the dentist, but that's going to help take care of. That's going to have a healing. It's going to fix what I need done at the time. But it's seeking that professional knowledge. I can't sit there and drill on my own tooth. It's just not possible. I don't know what I'm doing, even if I did. So
I wouldn't want to see that picture.
Everyone's sitting in their cars going, ooh. But that's what we're talking about, is that this is seeking a knowledge. This is getting help. It's merely saying, there's someone that has knowledge I don't have, and I'm not going to sit there and waste my time and waste my life. And time is the great equalizer. We all have the same amount. It doesn't matter whether you're Bill Gates or W.K. Boyce. We have the same amount of time. And we can either waste our lives spinning our wheels, being depressed, blaming other people for our problems, or we can make the change, we can make the choice, and get the knowledge. We'll be back.
TOMA. T-O-M-A. What's your TOMA? Did you know it's worth billions? Hi, this is Ken Boyce, Marketing Director with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your TOMA? Let's find out. Who's the richest man in the world? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, lift depression, mend broken heart, or heal emotional wounds? The answer to all these is TOMA. You see, TOMA said Bill Gates, TOMA said Coca-Cola, and TOMA now says the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. How do I contact them? TOMA says 882-6767. How do I find out more? TOMA again says, check out springfieldmfi.com. When the question is asked, it's TOMA that answers. What is TOMA? It's simply what comes to the top of the mind first when a question's asked. That's top of mind awareness, and it's priceless.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
We've been talking about how do we know when we, as a couple, need counseling. If you're just joining us, this is one of three shows that we've done. First one, talking about how do I need, as an individual, know I need counseling. How do I know if my child needs counseling? And today is how do we know when we need counseling? If you have missed the opportunity to listen to the first two shows, go to our website, springfieldmfi.com. That stands for Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. So springfieldmfi.com, and click on the radio archive link there. The past two shows we have are there. They have been cut and edited nice and smooth. Feel free to listen to them. Check us out. If these stories that we're telling and what we're talking about is very real, very down to earth, and it hits you square in your chest, give us a call at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We want to talk. There is no time to waste. Why waste our lives? Why waste our lives being miserable, being depressed? Most of what we find at Springfield MFI can be changed with very little effort. Just making a few course corrections early on makes a huge difference later on. So many times people wait to the very end when things are falling completely apart to try to put it back together. So if these hit you and these stories are relating, give us a call at the office at 882-6767. 882-6767. If you'd like to join us in studio, call 862-9977. 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening on the web, call toll-free at 800-375-0056. When we were dealing with love interest, it's important to remember that romance is a critical part of a relationship and that chivalry is not, or at least it should not be, dead. This is part of an expert from Kelly Couric. Said, Linda used to tell me that I didn't have a romantic bone in my body, says Tom B. Wiley. And as much as I hate to admit it, she was right. A 46-year-old web designer who worked out of his home, Tom spent plenty of time with his wife and family, but put very little effort toward working on his relationship. I figured I was doing my part. I was a good provider, bringing home the bacon, fixing the car, things like that. That's what guys do, right? But after 10 years of marriage, Linda shocked me with an ultimatum, either marriage counseling or divorce. It turned out that she was starving for love, attention, even romance, all of which came to light during the counseling session. He thought he was doing his part.
Yeah.
We get into life, we get into living, and we have these expectations of what our roles and responsibilities are. We tend to have life happen. We grow, things grow differently.
Yeah, many times as we're growing through the years, we don't experience problems, or they're not really overt problems until later into the marriage, perhaps. Right. Yeah.
And that makes me think of something that I heard a number of years ago, part of the minister's remarks in a marriage ceremony, but it has always stuck with me. And what the minister said was, and I'm paraphrasing, marriage is not so much about finding the right person as it is becoming the right person.
Yes.
Now, obviously, he wasn't saying it doesn't matter who you marry. It does. But it's important because what we do need to remember is that really at any given time in our life, there's probably more than one person that would be a good companion. But through the commitment of the marriage vows, the couple is basically chosen each other, and that, you know, is the right person for them, and they've made that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So as times change and the couple's needs change, each one needs to continue to change to be that right person for the person that they married. I guess you could say it's kind of like we need to think of the marriage road as continually being under construction, always under repair or making improvements to it. Our goal should be to become the best person for that person that we've chosen to be our husband or wife.
That's a great way to look at it.
It really is.
You know, and that I'm continually under construction.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us want to look at our spouse in that way, but if we really look at, I'm continually under construction, I'm changing.
Mm-hmm.
At 57 years old, I'm not the same man as I was when I was 21.
Right.
And I won't be the same man at 75 that I am at 57. And so there are different stages of life and different needs, and different expectations along the way that we need to continually communicate with each other about in marriage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, well, I think you might have mentioned it earlier, you know, maybe the spouse doesn't want to come to counseling, but don't let that keep you from coming, because while we can't change the other person, sometimes as we learn how to change ourselves, things that we can do differently, different ways that we might respond that mm-hmm. might be more effective, then it can help bring about a change in the other person.
That's amazing when we realize that we cannot make someone else do something. We can't make them do anything else, but we can influence, and by making changes toward ourselves, being able to learn that what we have control over is ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and here's our life, and here's what we need to do to be the best in our life, makes an incredible difference in people around us.
It really does.
Yeah, it really does. When couples' expectations are changing, or they're in opposition to one another, or they're just unspoken, when couples find themselves arguing with one another increasingly more all the time, when couples find themselves becoming more increasingly frustrated because there's a lack of resolution to any conflict, and it seems like no matter what they argue about, it is never resolved, it's important for couples to begin to become aware of maybe there's something going on that's beyond what we can do. Maybe something is happening here, that the problem is not the problem. The problem is a pattern of communication or miscommunication or ineffective communication that we need to address. Many times the problems that start us stumbling in our marriage, we don't stumble over mountains. We stumble over molehills.
That's so true.
We develop negative attitudes, and we begin to react to one another instead of responding to one another, really communicating effectively. We allow our feelings to become more important than facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to become aware that we can set up a pattern that begins a downward spiral in what has been a very effective marriage.
That's right. Just like if going back to the analogy of a marriage road, when we have those ice storms, those roads get ruts in them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be repaired, need to work on them, need to get them filled and smoothed out. And a lot of times it's just having someone else to talk with, that objective third party, if you will, that can help put things in perspective, maybe help you learn some new skills.
And provide the resources that we need mm-hmm. to fill in those potholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, what we're talking about this morning, how do we know when we need counseling as a couple? Everything we're talking about now goes back to a very core thing, and that is the life we always wanted. When we found this person that we love, we have an idea that this is going to be the perfect life. This is what we wanted. We want to be together the rest of our lives. We want to have the children. We want to have a family, home. 5 years down the road, we're wondering what happened. 10 years down the road, well, we're just kind of going through the motions. 20 years down the road, the kids move out of the house, and now we've got more time together than we've had since before we were dating. We don't know who each other are.
We're living with a stranger.
It's exactly right. And we don't have any idea how we got there. And what is so sad is that we tolerate and we take in the depression, we take in the bad feelings, little bits at a time, just these little incremental steps of, well, it's not so bad, or today is, well, okay, it's another day. Until finally we get down to the point where, that's it, it's over, I'm out of here. It would be so easy at the very beginning that when we start seeing these things of, we're not as close as we used to be able to come in for a tune-up, to be able to come in and talk over some things with someone that has a knowledge, it's an independent party, that wants to sit there and that wants you to have the best life possible. That's what this is about. That's what everything we do is to make our families stronger, make our lives stronger.
And this third party is not there to take sides. It's not there to berate either spouse, not there to condemn either spouse. That third party is there, that trained counselor is there to listen objectively and provide feedback and provide some tools and skills that couples need. And so many people are fearful, especially if the spouse won't come to counseling. I had a spouse last week come to counseling on their own because their spouse wouldn't come. They said, after they got there, said, what will I do? I said, go home and tell your spouse that we would really like for them to be in counseling. But it's their choice, that we're here to help make the marriage better, not to condemn or take sides or to blame, but that we're here for the client when the client is the marriage.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the old saying is when you're dating and when you're engaged, you just feel like you could just eat each other up. And 5 years into the marriage, wish you had. Yeah, it gets that intense. The first 5 to 7 years are really the roughest and the rockiest many times in the marriage. After that, it's after 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, you do see those patterns just as lives normally go along. And as you say, children come along, careers are being developed, there may be moves involved. And then one day the children are off to college or out of the home, then it's back to husband and wife again. The things that had been taking their time and attention for so many years, suddenly it's like, now we've got time for each other. What are we going to do with it?
Absolutely.
There's a little poem that I share with families sometimes by Shel Silverstein. It's called Hug a War. I will not play at tug a war. I'd rather play at hug a war, where everyone hugs instead of tugs, where everyone giggles and rolls on the rug, where everyone kisses and everyone grins, and everyone cuddles and everyone wins.
Oh, that's terrific.
Story. Joe and I were childhood sweethearts when we were madly in love pretty much from the day we met, says Carol. She's a 40-year-old architect from Colorado. We were the best of friends. We shared everything from heartache to elation, everything in between. And we managed to sustain our intimacy for a while, even after kids were born. But at some point, especially after we started having financial difficulties, we drifted further apart. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
She says she and Joe got to the point where there were literally no spark left at all. Oh, we were friendly. We'd play cards and take the kids to the museum, but there was no energy in our relationship. Luckily, after they were able to see the error of their ways after their last child left, all of a sudden we had time to spend together, and we were confronted with the fact that we had very little to say to each other, and that was a big revelation. For his part, Joe admits for the longest time he didn't really think anything was wrong with their relationship. Honestly, I thought things were going fine. He said years after raising children, Carol and I got along okay, we had awesome kids, life was good. Sure, we weren't the best buds anymore, but since all of our friends' relationships were pretty much the same as ours, we thought it was pretty well normal. After counseling, they began to rediscover their intense friendship they were missing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was like a whole new world opened up to us. Now we're back to finishing each other's sentences, sharing the secrets inside and inside jokes. We're passionate about our friendship. We laugh, we talk, we love each other to pieces. That's what you can have. That's the life we always wanted. Today, we've had Marty Marlin in studio with us, WK Boyce. This is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you're hearing something that sounds familiar, give us a call there, 882-6767. Visit us on the web at springfieldmfi.com. Check out our radio archives. You can hear the show all over again if you missed part of it. Again, this is Ken Boyce.
This is WK Boyce.
Marty Marlin.
It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.